Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you and praise you for who you are. You are full of love, grace, truth, and power. There is none like you. You are the only true living God. We can do nothing without you. Thank you, God, for gathering us together as your people today. We know there are many in this world that want to take your place in our lives. People, places, possessions, accomplishments, and so much more. Please forgive us and help us to recognize the temptations that come every day. Help us to say no. Help us to remember that you are the only God in this world. Your name is above all names. Your ways are above all our ways. Your purposes are above our purposes. Lord, as we consider the state of this world, it seems it is out of control. Global warming is changing our climate and killing millions of animals across this planet. Help us here in this church to do what we can do to steward this world well. We pray for a wave of your Spirit to influence policymakers around the world to put aside their own agendas for more money or power and to consider the world we are leaving for our children. For this we pray most earnestly, Lord. Lord, for governments around the world, here in Canada, and indeed here in Etobicoke and every city represented here today. We pray for your Spirit to lead in the way of righteousness and humility, that the poor, the marginalized, the destitute, the victims of war that are seeking safety would be cared for. We also pray for your church here in North America and around the world. Lord, that you would strengthen your church, that we would witness your love and power throughout the world, so that many would come to know you. Lord, for us, your church in Etobicoke, we especially pray now for Betty and for Hank and all others in this church family who need your healing. May your Spirit care for them in a special way, that they would know your presence, that they would know you more intimately. Please bless the work of this church here as we demonstrate your love for our neighborhood, your love for all peoples, and in various relationships with one another, with neighbors, with family. Grant us your perspective and healing. Love in them all. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you, the only true living God. Thank you for hearing our prayers now, Lord. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Baptism of Jesus Sunday. We had a visiting preacher, Brian McIntosh from Bloordale United Church, speaking to us about a theme that came out of a reflection on the baptism of Jesus. We're not a church that typically follows the lectionary, but this year we are going to follow the lectionary in some themes, a theme suggested to us by the Common English Lectionary, through the time of Epiphany, which is between Christmas and Easter. So all the Sundays of January and February, we're going to continue on with the Sundays of Epiphany, making Jesus known, how Jesus was made known to the people of his time, okay? So that theme will tie us together, and the theme that has been suggested to us is, and that we will be using, is good news for all people. It was good news that Jesus was revealed. It was good news that Jesus came. So what does that good news mean for us today? So we look forward to that, and you know, if you miss a Sunday, we all miss a Sunday from time to time. The guys upstairs work very hard to get that recording up by the time we have coffee. So you can go home and any day of the week listen to the sermon that you've missed and stay with this series, because I think it's going to be an important series for us. Good news for all people. Today, the scripture that has been given to us is from Luke chapter 4. It's on page 830 in your pew Bibles. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear God, we thank you for these words given long ago, brought to life by Jesus, brought into our lives by the Bible and by your Spirit, upon whom we humbly rely now that we may learn what you have to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I were to say to you at this point in the sermon, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," you might take offense at me. But that is exactly what I would like to say to you today, that this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing today in the church. That's the spoiler alert for the sermon, because that's where we're headed in this sermon. Just as Jesus came and fulfilled literally the words of the prophet Isaiah that he read from Isaiah chapter 61, so too we are fulfilling this scripture as we follow Jesus as his church and proclaiming good news to a hurting and broken world. And the way I'd like to look at this scripture today is in terms of the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit at work in this passage, the triune God all present in this passage. It's a very, very important passage. Just as the Holy Spirit and God the Father were present with Jesus at his baptism, just as they were present when he was in the wilderness under temptation, so too are they present here in this very important passage today. It is the Son who is physically present. It is the Spirit who is empowering. And it is the Father whose word is proclaimed, indeed, who speaks. And this is key, this triune relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is key. And I think it's a very, very good and important framework by which we can examine this passage together this morning. So the Father is present, first of all, in these words from Isaiah 61. And we know that Jesus had a very high regard for Scripture. He treated them as the very words of God. And so God is here in these words from Isaiah 61, where it tells what God is busy doing in the life of Jesus. First of all, Jesus says, "It is the Lord who has anointed me. It is God the Father who has anointed me for ministry." And surely, if we read in the book of Acts, we can see how in the sermons of the book of Acts, they reminded the people that when Jesus Christ was baptized, he was baptized with an anointing of the Spirit from God the Father. God sent his Spirit out to Jesus and anointed Jesus for his ministry. Secondly, Jesus says very clearly that it is God who has sent me. God sends me to preach, he says, to preach and to proclaim. It is God's mission that Jesus is on, and it is God who does the sending of Jesus on that mission. And thirdly, God provides his word. His word here today from Isaiah chapter 61. God has news, good news, for Jesus to proclaim. And this good news is flowing out of these Old Testament scriptures, but in a fresh word for the people of his time. Well, if that is true, that Jesus is here representing the Father who sent and anointed and gave him his word, then I think we should also see it later in the Bible in the book of Acts. We should see it happening in the early church. And we do. We see that same threefold pattern about God the Father. God anoints his servants, the early church, for ministry at Pentecost and thereafter. God sends his church on mission, sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly, out to preach the word. And God speaks through his servants as they preach the word of God from the Old Testament, proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming the word that God the Father gave to them. And I would say to you that if it's true for Jesus, and if it's true in the first century church, then it is true for us today as well, that God is still doing those very same things. God has anointed his church for ministry by placing his Spirit among us, even as we just sang 1 minute ago, that God has anointed us with his Spirit. It is God who sends us out to the poor to preach the good news. And it is God who speaks his word. And he tells us that my word shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So God the Father is at work in seeing that his mission is carried out. That mission that he launched through Jesus Christ and continued on through the church, he's still at work confirming that that mission is carried out. Through his church, Jesus proclaims good news to a hurting, broken world. So that's God the Father. And in similar fashion, the Holy Spirit is here in this passage. And the Holy Spirit is shown to be doing three things. First of all, Jesus is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit fills Jesus. And at his baptism, as he rose up out of the water, Jesus is said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As a fountain, it flows out with water because it is filled with water. Secondly, the Spirit empowers. We're told that Jesus went out in the power of the Spirit, not just having the Spirit, but in the power of the Spirit. And having filled Jesus then, the Spirit empowers Jesus to take on forces both natural and supernatural. And third, the Holy Spirit speaks. The Spirit brings this word of God to life through Scripture in an authoritative way, a new way from Jesus' lips, as he speaks here in Nazareth, and then as he speaks throughout his teaching ministry. Well, how about if we go forward to the book of Acts? Well, we see the Spirit present in those same three ways. The Spirit fills the believers, fills them to overflowing. They're often portrayed in the New Testament as doing special and even amazing things because they're in the Spirit. Secondly, the Spirit empowers these Christians, and they are given signs and wonders to accompany the word of their preaching. And then the Spirit is there speaking words of good news and of proclamation and of defense. And they learn to take Jesus literally when he had told them, "Don't worry at that time what you're going to say, for in that hour it will be given to you by the Holy Spirit." Well, how about us? What can we say about us and the Holy Spirit? The exhortation still remains for us, doesn't it? Paul tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We sing about it, but in our prayers, humbly on our knees at home, do we pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or do we pray to be, secondly, empowered by that Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit still empowers his people today, and we can ask for that. Do not quench the Spirit, Paul says. Do not put out the Spirit's flame, that is, the Spirit's power. And of course, we are still to speak that word of God that he gives us in his scriptures, the proclamation of Jesus, the good news to the poor. And we call upon that same Holy Spirit to enable us to do so. So the God is active, in control. The Spirit is in action in the people's lives, in our lives. And because through the church, Jesus is proclaiming good news to a hurting and broken world. So that's the Father and the Spirit. And how about the Son? The Son whom we see here in the pages of this text today. Well, let's look at three things that Jesus is doing. This passage is very, very important in the life of Jesus. It's been called the closest thing to a mission statement that there is in Jesus' life. Because here, Jesus declares what his mission is going to be all about. Indeed, what the early part of his preaching has taken on and what it is going to be as he goes about in Galilee. He picks up the Bible and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah. And in verses 18 and 19, we read these verses from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus here identifies himself as the Lord's anointed, the one whom the prophets pointed to, the one whom Isaiah consistently called the anointed one of God that is going to come, the servant, the suffering servant who is going to come. Jesus says, I have fulfilled these words for you. That is me. Specifically says he is the one on whom the Spirit would come in this anointing. He is the Messiah, the Christ. And that's exactly what it means when he says he is the anointed one. He is the Messiah, the Christ. Very literally, if you take the Hebrew word that means to anoint and you make a noun out of it, it means that word is Messiah. Or if you take the Greek word in the New Testament for the word to anoint and you make a noun out of it, it is the word Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one the people had been longing for, the one they had been waiting for, the one they had been watching for, as we sang in Advent. So Jesus saying he is the anointed one. He's saying he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Secondly, Jesus says he is the one who has come to preach good news to the poor. Now it is clear that Jesus made his home with the poor. It is clear that Jesus focused his ministry on the poor. But here he says he has come to preach good news to the poor. He has brought a message that for the poor is going to be good news. And we will look a little more at that in just a moment. Third, Jesus says he's come to proclaim release and recovery. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free. Very literally, the word release is here used both times. Very literally, it says, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and let the oppressed be released. Jesus is preaching a message of release from bondage, both spiritual and physical. And that continues on when he says, I've also come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is a reference to the Old Testament concept of Jubilee, a year when debts are freed, a year when the land and the poor are freed, they are released. It comes down to us as in Greek as the year of release. And then thirdly, if we look at the word release in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's our common word for forgiveness. It's commonly translated to forgive. When we say forgive our sins, we're saying, Lord, release us from our sins. Release us from the bondage of those sins. And indeed, we could read the Lord's Prayer, release our debts as we release the debts of those indebted to us. Because Jesus was preaching a message not just of release for personal sin, but release for the things that hold people in oppression, in bondage, those systems that hold them into bondage, into oppression. So that's Jesus here preaching this message. And if we would turn again to the book of Acts, we would see the same thing, that the church takes on the mantle, the role of God's being God's anointed. In fact, in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are out preaching, And they're so bold as to say at one point to take the words that are applied to the Messiah in Isaiah 49:6 and to apply it to their own ministry. I have set you, the passage says, to be a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And Paul and Barnabas say, that is what we are doing in bringing the gospel to you. We are those sent. So they take on the very mantle of the passages about the Messiah and apply it to their own ministry. Secondly, they're busy preaching good news to the poor. And yes, people of all classes came to hear the gospel, but by and large, they preached the gospel to the common man, the common woman, and by that the church grew. And as a result, we're told in the book of Acts that in the church in Jerusalem, there was not a needy person among them, because they not only preached, but they lived out this gospel to the poor. And third, the people that followed Jesus experienced true release, release from sin, release from oppression to the devil, release from systems of captivity to poverty by the church's intentionality of generosity. Well, if it's true for Jesus, it was true for the early church, it's true for us as well today. It is us, we, the church, who are anointed by this same Spirit and carry on that mantle of Jesus' ministry. It is we who are entrusted with the task of preaching good news to the poor. Now, the literal meaning of that phrase, preaching good news to the poor, means to evangelize the poor. But that just conjures up all the wrong images, doesn't it? Just conjures up beating people over the head, perhaps, with Bibles. Where's the good news in that? There's got to be good news in the gospel, good news for the poor. And for it to be good news, we have to offer tangible hope. And we offer tangible hope by offering people release from those things that are holding them in oppression, holding them in poverty. So our preaching is coupled with actions, holistic work, which makes a real difference in breaking cycles of poverty, or cycles of addiction, cycles of abuse, or cycles of shame. And then we begin to see how we can carry out the mission of Christ on earth. It's just one example. This Joanne has given me permission to share this story. At the council meeting the other night, we were talking about hope. How do we find hope? Where do we find hope, and how do we offer hope? And Joanne Noble shared something she said is offering her great hope at this point in our ministry. And she attends the TOTS program that we have here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And she does not attend it as a deacon or a member of the committee of administration. She attends the TOTS program as a grandma to her wonderful grandson, Logan, whom I've become really good friends with. This attendance at the TOTS program is allowing her to make connections, to connect the dots between her work here and at the food bank, but also make connections with individuals. You see, there's a lot of other people that come. There's other grandmas, and there's moms and dads, and there's nannies. And some of these nannies are single moms that live in this neighborhood trying to raise kids on a nanny's salary. They're living in poverty. So Joanne has now been able to connect the dots from what she does here on a Tuesday or Thursday morning to what she does at the food bank. Not just invite people to the food bank, but be there with them at the food bank, connecting them with ways that they can find help. Not just a basket of food, but other structures, other programs that are available to them to break that cycle of poverty and hopelessness. And I can tell you assuredly that it is being warmly received by these nannies. So how about us today as the people of God, as the church of God? Who is it that is anointed and sent and speaking? Who is it that called to preach good news to the poor and proclaim release? Well, it's the church. And when we say the church, does that mean me as your paid designate? Well, no, it means us, doesn't it? Us, all of it, as the body of Christ. The body of Christ, of which he is the head and we are the hands and the feet and the mouth. We are Christ to our neighbors. We are Christ to this neighborhood. Perhaps the only way that people will encounter Christ. So we find our mission here in this Jesus' mission statement. In Luke chapter 4, Through his church, Jesus proclaims good news to a hurting, broken world. We don't do it alone, but the triune God sends his Spirit to give us words, and confirm his witness of Christ. The sovereign triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is actively over all of it. It's from him, it's through him, it's for him. He anoints, he sends, he speaks through his word. So in just a moment, we'll be moving to share the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a tangible reminder that we are the body of Christ, the one body of Christ, the living, active, Spirit-anointed body of Christ. So may your time at the table be an opportunity to seek refilling with the Holy Spirit, that we may together be empowered to carry out this wonderful, great mission on which we've been collectively sent. I ask the worship team to come forward now. We're amazed at how you came, fulfilling the very words of Scripture. Father, we're thankful that you sent Jesus and that you send us. And Holy Spirit, same Spirit that anointed Jesus, we're thankful that you are here today. Please, Holy Spirit, come into our work that we may do the great work that you've given us to do. For we dare not do it without you. In Jesus' name, amen.